Welcome, everyone. It's Karen Russo, the author of The Money Keys, Unlocking Peace, Freedom, and Real Financial Power. And tonight I'm here with some of the people I really respect, and we're about to enter into a conversation that I call A Money Game Worth Playing. So I'm going to let each of these folks introduce themselves, and maybe we'll start with Loretta.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me, Karen.
Great. So, Loretta, why don't you just tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Loretta Lothoff, the Dream Leader for Business, and I'm an executive business coach and a professional speaker. And I work with managers and leaders and business owners to help them accomplish their goals. My slogan is people and teams exceeding their dreams.
Terrific. Well, we're glad you're with us.
Thank you.
I know that James is with us also.
Yes, hi everyone. My name is James, and I'm an entrepreneur. I own a franchise, a 1-800-GOT-JUNK franchise, and a real estate investment firm.
Terrific. Well, glad to have you with us, James. And Kathy?
Hi, Karen.
Yes.
Hi, it's Kathy here, and I'm delighted to be on the call. I have a network marketing business that my husband and I have built to the level of diamond, which means we have several thousand people in our organization and globally, actually international.
Terrific. And I know that Emil is with us. He might have had to mute. Are you back with us, Emil?
I am here. Yes, Emil Bobro, and I'm a real estate investor, minister, and nonprofit advisor.
Terrific. Real estate minister and nonprofit advisor. Wonderful. Well, this is a great group. I know each of you individually and really respect the work you do with your clients, the results you get in your own financial wealth and well-being. And I also really respect how you are with people, with your teams and with your colleagues. Now, one of the things that we work with in the Money Keys is the idea that superstitious beliefs about money can really feel like being in a jail cell. It's the idea that money and business is a win-lose game. And when we're in that mindset of competition and scarcity and victim dominator and having to get ahead while someone else falls behind, it can really be discouraging and disempowering. So our first question, and we can just let people respond, you know, in whatever order works, but in your business, tell us how you really put win-win into action.
This is Loretta. How I do it is by helping people collaborate. So I do a lot of work both with large organizations and small businesses, but the work I do helps people work together more collaboratively. So my personal vision is that people recognize the unique gifts that they brought into this life, that they're expressing those gifts in pursuit of their own highest personal destiny, and that the organizations that they work for honor those gifts in pursuit of their business goals. So if I think about what you were just talking about with competition, you know, if you think about a large company, I don't know if, you know, anybody who's listening has ever worked in one, but there often is competition. I've got to be better than the next person. I've got to produce more. Sometimes there's a chasm between the bosses and the workers. And so what I do is really help bring humanity into the workplace so that people are honored for what it is that they're providing and that the businesses are there and accomplishing what it is that they want to accomplish, which is often make money and, you know, make change in the world. So it's all through communication and helping people collaborate.
Terrific. What I also caught, it's interesting about what you said, is that people have unique gifts. And if we believe also that those gifts are always going to be, you know, everyone's got their own unique gifts, so we don't need to compete for each other's gifts. Rather, it's more important to communicate and appreciate each other's.
Right. Be the best you can be. You don't have to put other people down for you to be great.
Exactly. I also appreciate, of course, the idea that individuals the individual being the best they can be is also good for the business. That's such a that's worth explicitly saying, isn't it?
It is. And sometimes I often talk to, well, not often, but sometimes I talk to managers who have the mentality that I've got all the ideas, I'm in charge, you got to do it my way, and that's absolutely not the best way to, you know, bring the best out of your people and have creativity and innovation going on in the workplace. So, good point that you raised.
Well, thank you. Other thoughts about how you put win-win into action?
It's Kathy here, Karen. I think what Loretta was saying was really interesting, and it really sort of took me back to when I was working at a bank, and I had been in the bank for many, many years. And there was certainly a great deal of competition there, and this feeling of almost scarcity because there were limited roles that you could move into. And so there was this withholding of information, this competitiveness, this power struggle that goes on between people, which is really not required when you're playing to your own strengths. And that's really the win-win, is really to discover that in an individual. Since I've embarked now on my own business, and I have businesses and other partners, and certainly in our network marketing business, it really has allowed us to, first of all, examine what it is that we really want in our own life. And I think it really starts there. What it is that you want? Who is it that you want to be? And really working in working with individuals who are wanting to go down a path of discovery, if you will, and recognizing that the world is one of abundance. And there, you know, if you want a piece of the pie, it was explained to me once, then there's a lot of people wanting that pie, we'll just make the pie bigger. There really is everything that we want here, and it's just a matter of opening up and working with individuals with their strengths, their belief, and their best interest at heart. And I think that's really the essence of it that allows us to have a win-win relationship.
You know, what I caught out of that, too, is the whole making the pie bigger or having a pie franchise is often about letting your natural creativity come out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, this is Emil. I'd like to chime in because, and sort of along this idea of making the pie bigger, when I'm moving into a business situation, usually a transaction, I go in with the idea that it is a very big pie, and that there's a piece there for everyone, and that in making it a win-win, my attitude is one of not begrudging each person their piece of the pie. This way we can have a conversation about how to make the situation work best so that the pie gets bigger rather than fighting over the table scraps. We're in a situation of talking about a bigger and bigger picture and how each one can come out of the situation with as much as they want or more as the situation goes down. So rather than trying to step on toes or shoulders or heads to get ahead, it's a matter of seeing how we can work shoulder to shoulder to come out with that win-win where everyone walks away happy in the transaction.
Yes. You know, it strikes me, too, that just that your interest and commitment to that outcome probably just naturally attracts to you people who also believe the same thing.
That's what I found, yes. Definitely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Karen, this is James. Everything you guys are saying, I totally agree with. And looking through my own experience, the one thing that I think that I've done lately that it was kind of a win-win. When I started my 1-800-GOT-JUNK business, I knew that I wanted to work on the business, not in the business, but I knew I need to get some help in order to do that. So what I did is I looked at what skills and resources can I bring to the game versus, you know, what I needed. And what I did is I found somebody who didn't necessarily have the money to start a business, but had the skills to run one, and I partnered with that person. I own the business 100%, but over time, the person that I brought on to run the business for me will own more and more of that business. So what I found is something that I wasn't going to be able to do myself. I turned it into a win-win situation where I now have a business that I work on, not in, but still am able to run effectively that way.
Yeah. You know, isn't that so true? I just made some decisions in our business about taking some programs that I had created last year, and as they're not going to be the major focus of our business, we're looking for ways to share them with coaches who are launching their own programs who could use those products. Do you know, it's like it's almost like when I let go of something, it's going to be a real win for somebody else. So that's it's a nice way to see how the flow happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
How about
everyone
wins? How about just we'll have one final question, and that'll be, as you think about, if you had to give just one or two pieces of advice for folks who really want to start to attract to themselves the kinds of partnerships and teams and colleagues that I know we've all enjoyed. We've really enjoyed our relationships that are very collegial and supportive. How do you get those kinds of relationships started?
I would underscore what was just said about finding someone who has skills that you don't have, you know, getting everybody working in their sweet spot. But in terms of, you know, building partnerships, I think that having a giving philosophy is what really attracts people to you. So oftentimes, if you think about going to some networking meetings, the thing that makes some networking meetings really annoying is that people are always trying to get business from you. So they're always asking, or not asking, they're trying to sell you. And I find when you're looking for partners that if you go in trying to get something from the partnership, that it isn't going to be a great, graceful conversation. And that, you know, if we instead look at what it is that we have to offer, that we and how that's going to help the person that we're trying to partner with, they'll be that much more inclined and interested in wanting to join forces with us than if they think they're going to be taken and used.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
yeah, and to add to that, I think Loretta is so right there. And you know, if we approach any person or potential partner, I think that the best relationships formed is one where you're curious first about their situation, what their goals and dreams are, and if it's really about relationships and it's about trust. So what we have found, bar none, is when we take that active role in finding out more about the individual that we're talking with, we find out so much more about them than we would have if we would just go out and talk about us or our deal or whatever it is. And I think when you're forming partnerships with someone, I think the it's a combination of a number of things. And to get back to James' point, I think you really need to look at your own skill set. What is it that you are, first of all, what's the objective? If you're assembling a team for a certain project, whether it's a business, we have just formed a team for the Give Out Loud, which is a new foundation that we're forming. And Give Out Loud has a collection of five partners that all bring something very, very different to the table. But the underlying glue, if you will, that connects us is a passion for the cause. And the trust that we have within each other that what we are building is good. So it's relationship, it's trust, and recognizing the strengths of others that really is a great team.
Terrific. I loved what you said, Kathy, about approaching people with curiosity. That's such a respectful strategy. You know, it's such a respectful mindset when you have when you're initiating a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is James. This is James. I was just going to add on there that I think if you look to like The Secret and having this positive expectation about things and believing it'll happen, that has really changed my life when I look at things. An example of that. When I started my real estate business, I knew that I wanted to find someone who was, you know, doing a bigger, better game. And I just knew and believed that I was going to find somebody like that. But that type of attitude led me to start talking about it with people. And you find things in the strangest places. I mentioned that I was looking for a real estate mentor to my personal assistant, not really thinking that she had, you know, the connections or knowledge to find someone like that, but she just mentioned to me that, oh, you know what, there's someone that goes to my church. He's a full-time real estate investor, has been for 5 years. He buys and sells about 10 houses a month, and he lives a neighborhood over from you. Why don't I introduce you to him? So she introduced me to him. We had lunch together, and he accepted and agreed to start mentoring me in real estate. Mm-hmm. So you never know where you're going to find the person that you need, but you need to talk about it to other people and have that positive expectation that you're going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is Emil, and I think one of the other somebody mentioned the idea of having curiosity about the other individual. I also look for someone that has that similar curiosity about me, because it is a two-way relationship, and we're looking for individuals that we can grow with, and that they're looking to grow, and I'm looking to grow, so that there's a curiosity that on my part about what that person knows and what that person's interested in doing, and the same thing on the other side. So there's this sort of partnership in terms of growth as well as whatever the business enterprise is, so that there's a lot of sharing that comes in the relationship over time. So that becomes a very important aspect for me as I'm looking at who it is that I'm partnering with.
Terrific. Wow. Well, listen, I want to just thank each one of you. You know that the money key when it comes to escaping the jail of superstition is the question, what game am I playing? And as I listen to each one of you, I get very inspired about playing a money game that's really worth playing, because it's about the qualities of curiosity and contribution and circulation and win-win. And I just respect and appreciate each one of you, because I know you really walk that talk, and I know you've made a contribution to me, and now you've made a contribution to all of our readers. So we appreciate everybody for being for listening in to A Money Game Worth Playing. If you need more information, you can always find more at our site, which is themoneykeys.com, or call us at 877-249-0194. Thank you so much.